CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Letitia James's legal strategy and the result right now of what the obligation is by Donald J. Trump, the putative nominee of the Republican Party for the presidency again, and Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York. These decisions depend upon some numbers, so I welcome Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online. He's got lots of numbers in a column I recommend. I keep writing them down and forgetting them, so Andy's here to help me. Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague and co-host of American Greatness, is with me as well. This is a story of an enormous amount of money that was, at some point in the last 24 hours, impossible for even Donald J. Trump to raise. And now, Andy, a very good evening to you. The idea was that the Attorney General of New York was going to, in some fashion, find assets in Mr. Trump's empire to equal to $500 million. That did not happen. However, it might in future. As I understand it, a court has now reduced the number that Mr. Trump has to come up with in order to appeal the decision. That's as far as I can go logically. What happens next? Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. Well, there's two different things going on, John. Trump doesn't have to pay to appeal, but as a practical matter, if he doesn't pay, there may be the appeal could be illusory. And what I mean by that is he's got a certain amount of time to appeal, and on a separate track, she's got a certain amount of time she has to wait, and then she can begin trying to enforce the judgment. And that was what the deadline that that basically she came to in terms of starting to enforce the judgment was Monday, March 25th. So Trump needed to come up with a bond that the court would use as a reason to prevent James from enforcing the $454 million judgment that was found against Trump, where the interest is accruing still at $112,000 a day. So ordinarily in that situation, what the court requires is a bond of about 110 to 120% of the judgment, because it's got to be posted at interest. That in this instance would have been around $550 million, if not more. But that's a ridiculous number for someone to have to come up with as a practical matter to litigate the appeal. And if Trump couldn't block her from enforcing it, his assets could be gone by the time the appeal took place. So his appellate rights would be illusory. And it was also ridiculous in this case to demand it, because Trump's assets are mostly real estate and a lot of it is in New York. And his company is already under a monitor. So it's not like his real estate assets were going to get up and leave from New York, or that she would not have, if she prevails on the appeal, it's not like there wasn't going to be any property of Trump's that she could execute on to satisfy the judgment. So I don't think even a $175 million bond, I think, is excessive in this case. But obviously, it's a lot better than $550 million.
One more detail, Andy. How did they arrive at 175? Because the last time I saw it was over $500 million.
Yeah, I think, John, it should have been, given the accumulation of interest, it would have been probably in excess of $550 million if you were going to do the whole face value of the bond plus interest in posting it. So what they basically did was they slashed it by two thirds. They took about a third of what he'd ordinarily have to post. And in part, that's because the idea of the bond is excessive. And I think in part it's because Trump has so much real estate in New York that it's there's no point and no justification in making him tie up that much cash when she's going to have plenty of property that she can execute against if the time ever comes for that.
That is, you have a question.
Andy, just for clarity, in this case, it's a case where there have been no damages shown to anybody else, right?
Correct. Yep.
You would think then that collecting these up to what, over $500 million or whatever, where does that money go? Because there's no one out there to be made whole. Is that just going to the state of New York?
It is going to the state of New York if she succeeds on appeal. Now, I must say, Thaddeus, for the reason that you describe here, the fact that there are no victims, it seems to me that the disgorgement award is so out of proportion with the wrong that was proved at trial, which at most is that Trump exaggerated the values of his assets in circumstances where he was dealing not with consumers, but with other sophisticated financial actors and admonishing them to do their own due diligence, which they would have done anyway. So that's the reason you don't have a victim here. Everybody who did business with Trump assessed their risk and decided to go forward. And not surprisingly, they calculated the payments in a way that they made money on these transactions, even if New York thinks now that they were cheating themselves. But there are no victims in this case. And as a result, I think it's an excessive fine under both the federal constitution and the New York constitution.
Presuming Mr. Trump brings forth the $175 million plus interest on Monday, where does the case go, and does it go away till after the election?
Yeah, I think it does, John. I think what will happen is Trump won't have difficulty making this bond. Easy for me to say, but he's a very wealthy man. He'll be able to do this. And then what will happen is they'll proceed with the appeal. And as a practical matter, the appeal won't be decided at the earliest until sometime next year. So I think other than whatever political rhetoric that, Thaddeus would be much better to address than I would, that the Democrats would be able to gin up in connection with this proceeding, I don't think we'll hear much more about it until the appeal.
So it goes away then until after the election. It will not be not back in court, no review once the money is put up for $175
more than,
put up.
Yeah, more than like, unless there's some unanticipated event that makes it relevant, I think this goes out of the headlines, at least for the next few months.
One more question, Andy. When the appeals court looks at this, is it going to concentrate on the grotesque numbers, or is it going to look at the facts of the case? Does it review everything that happened in that courtroom?
Well, what makes the numbers grotesque, John, is what happened in the courtroom. So they'll look at the whole. I mean, you can't judge whether or not the numbers are grotesque unless you assess the record of the trial. You know, for example, a $454 million judgment would not be grotesque if Trump had 454 victims who he took for $1 million apiece, right? But if he hasn't taken, if he's got no victims, and it seems arbitrary that Tish James, the attorney general, and Judge Engoron came up with this number, which is like pulling numbers out of the sky. Let's remember, when she started this case, Letitia James said that her damages were $250 million. She then, for 11 weeks, proved the case, established that there were no victims, and yet at the end of 11 weeks said, you know, I now think my damages are $370 million. So there's a capriciousness to this that I think the Court of Appeals will find offensive.
That is.
Andy, do you think that the legislature of the great state of New York might want to revisit this statute to add a little more clarity and some more boundaries and some guardrails, if not for Mr. Trump, but for future entrepreneurs that may look at locating in New York? This would seem to me to be a rather big red flag where the attorney general can decide to target an individual, stretch the law, and then recoup all of the awards, even though there have been no victims.
I think if common sense prevailed, Thaddeus, that would be true. But let's remember, we're talking about New York, where they have a significant crime problem. It's directly traceable to the bail reforms that they did following 2019. And they haven't really reversed a whole lot of that to deal with the crime problem. So I think here we have the civil side of this in that, you know, to the extent people are saying this is sui generis and it's only Trump law and it won't apply to anyone else, now that it's a precedent, if you think that New York progressives only don't like Trump, like they don't like you know, fossil fuel companies or firearms companies or companies in general, and they won't use this against other political enemies and whipping devices of theirs. I think you're crazy. I mean, they're going to use this law against others. And as a result, if you have an option not to do business in New York, you're really taking a big chance to do business there, because if they can do it to Trump, they can do it to you.
April. And the only thing we will get out of this is the Schadenfreude of watching progressives use it upon each other at some point.
April 15th is tax day. It's also the start of a trial of Donald J. Trump in Manhattan for, and I'll need Andy McCarthy's help on this when we come back, for crimes that I can't entirely understand. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Thaddeus McCotter. We'll be right back with the Bragg trial.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.